Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Good for Construction, a podcast dedicated to architects and architecture in India. And I'm your host, Isha Bajaj. In season one, we talk to architects across India who are now successfully running their own enterprises and companies. We talk to them about their journeys of the transition from architecture school to getting a job and finally starting their own business. And today in studio, we have Kshitij Dogra of Kshitij Dogra Architect. To give our listeners a little context, Kshitij Dogra Architects, founded in 2017, is a multifaceted practice which aims to create spaces that respond to the context and aesthetics of a given environment. Through thorough theoretical research, the firm aims to establish a philosophy which experiments with and integrates material sensibilities into a given context. The firm is a multidisciplinary unit covering wide arrays of design principles such as interior, architecture, and furniture. The firm is currently working on projects of different scale and sensibilities. Like, some of the ongoing projects are 2 biomass plants in Punjab, a residence in Nainital, and a few residences in Gurgaon. The firm is to launch a major section of its flagship furniture series, Newborns, in the upcoming India Design 2019 Symposium. The founder, Kshitij Dogra, is a graduate from Sushant School of Art and Architecture, Gurgaon. Welcome to the studio, Kshitij.
Hi, Isha.
How are you, Kshitij?
I'm good, Isha. I'm perfect.
So we're going to talk about your journey of how you started. So let's go over what Kshitij Dogra Architects is about.
As of now, it's more about the processes and things I've been trying to build over the past one and a half years, because I started this practice in 2017.
Okay.
I was part-timing at a firm, Harshvardhan's office. Hmm. So that is when I thought of, you know, doing my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I was trying to build my page or trying to build my image as somebody who's doing some photography and some art and this and that, and eventually leading to processes of architecture and processes of building and processes, very small things like powder coating and things like that, because these things are things which are not taught to any of us.
Right.
So it was more about how can we pitch the page in a certain way which is a little unique and which can have a certain kind of characteristic which others are not doing or something like that. So right now, as of now, it's doing that. But soon it will become something more, because I'll have my product, because now it's the processes have ended. Now I have a product. I'm going to launch that eventually.
And you'll see how it's accepted and
hopefully.
So what is, if you were to define your practice, because I follow your Instagram page and I've seen the images are, for the lack of a better word, rustic.
Is
that what you're going for?
It's more like most of the pages that I've seen on Instagram, they have a certain kind of perfection to them. They have a certain kind of cleanliness to them. I feel everybody's looking for the perfect image or the perfect line. I feel I don't think that is what I'm trying to do. I think if I pitch a page in a certain way, and if I pitch it like a process and like an art page, I think there I have that flexibility where I can say that this page is sort of an art page, so I can do and I can get away with anything in the sense. So it is more of a imperfect page, which is trying to sell art and which is trying to sell a certain kind of image of art.
So, to go back a little, did you always know that you would start your own work?
I think so.
Before college?
No. I just knew when I passed out from school, I was more on the, like I used to do a lot of art in school. So I was more on the lines of, I don't want to do engineering because I think it's too dry. I don't want to do artwork because it's too
ambiguous.
And it's too fluid in this and that. So I want to hit a perfect balance of the two. So I was like, this is a better combination of art and engineering. So that is when I was like, oh no, I'll do architecture. But in my first year, I was never I didn't know that I'm going to open my own office and everything.
You know what this answer reminds me of? I don't know, we might just cut this out, but it reminds me of my first year. You were sitting in the amphitheater and calling kids. And like, "Bada, architecture kyun kiya tumne?" And everyone had the same answer. Ki nahi, mujhe drawing bhi achhi lagti hai. मुझे बिल्डिंग्स भी अच्छे लगते हैं
तो मैंने दिस इज अ पॉलिटिकली करेक्ट आंसर लाइक आई वांट टू डू दिस आई वांट टू डू दिस सो आई विल जस्ट आंसर दिस इज द सेफेस्ट आंसर
द फनी थिंग वाज दैट इफ एनीवन वुड से दैट यू वुड बी लाइक नो दिस इज नॉट
दैट बिकॉज़ दिस इज व्हाट आई सेड because all my seniors used to ask me that question and I would go like, "Oh, because art is also nice and engineering is also nice, so it's a combination of the two." That's a standard
standard answer.
Template.
That's true. So fir, then in college, did you have that at the back of your head that, "Achha, you know, I'm working in a way which would help me later to kind of start my own work." Like, for example, you know, when it comes to talking to new people, creating contacts, networking. Because a lot of people do that. I mean, I've heard that, you know, they've said that, "Nahi, mujhe to college se hi pata tha that I'm going to start my own firm."
Yeah.
And since college, you know, I was making an extra effort to talk to new teachers who were not teaching me, going and working with them, you know, maintaining my contacts. Is this something that you did?
It depends on the people you want to interact with. In the sense, I haven't really... This is something that I'm struggling with still. In the sense, I'm struggling with projects and everything because I somewhere feel that I was so contained in my college and I was so contained with the people around me that I didn't really go out and I didn't really meet people who are from different circles.
Achha.
In the sense... but if you're talking about... teachers, and if you're talking about going and working for them, that I did out of my own will because I feel I'm a workaholic. So I just feel that if I'm sitting at home and if I'm not doing anything for the 2 months ka break that we get,
So you weren't like making an active effort to...
No, I wasn't. And I sometimes regret it also. In the sense, I'm more of the opinion because I look at my friends, everybody's working, everybody has friends outside their own architectural circle. But I have few.
Achha.
So, not a lot of them, but few. So, I'm more of the opinion ki, okay, if I would have invested a little more time into
networking,
I would have been much more comfortable than I am. But that's just... how things are.
Achha. Then what was the exact time while you were working? When did you think that, "Achha, now is the time. Now I can start, you know. I have enough experience now."
Okay, so now. Basically, I worked in, I had worked for 4.5 years, right?
Yeah.
So four and a half years.
Yeah.
So I worked at Romi Khosla for 1 year. Right. Then I worked at Samir Rathod for 1.5 years.
Right.
Then I worked for Harsha at 1.5 years.
Yeah.
So Samira, Romi Khosla are like established firms. They have, and Harsha is also coming up as an established firm. So when you're working in these firms, and when it was my first year when I was at Romi Khosla and everything, I was learning working drawings and new things and design. And I was like, I'll see how these guys translate a design into working drawings and then in execution and this and that. So when you're doing all that for the first time, you get that adrenaline rush. But when you're doing it for the second time, even then, you get that rush.
Because
I was at Samira's office. Samira's office actually changed a lot because when I was working there, I was I made a factory there. So it was like a 50,000 square feet factory. When she gave me that project, I was of the opinion that I can't do this. I am too small. I am too young for this. I'm a fresher architect. Fresher architects don't do that. And this is just too much. And there was nobody she had under me who was working. So I was the only one who was handling the entire
factory. So you had no guidance, no senior architect, nothing.
I think that taught me a lot in the sense as what my scope is limited to and what my scope is actually now. In the sense, if you make something really big, then the smaller things or the residences and this and that, you become a little less fearful and you realize that, no, you can handle smaller projects, you can handle residences, you can handle furniture pieces, you can handle this and that. So that is something that made me realize, okay, if you can make a factory, you can take over the world. Right? So then when I was in Harsh's firm, so I was doing those things, like he also gave me some big projects to do and this and that, but I just felt that with time it became the entire process of, you know, your boss allocating you a project and you doing it, it became repetitive.
Okay.
In the sense, you just realize, oh, it's the same now. You're going to sketch, then you're going to put it on working drawing, then you're going to put it out and you're going to put it in execution, then vendors and this and that. So you just realize, am I going to do this for the rest of my life? Like, where is my... Because whatever you say, a person who's heading the firm has the control over the design, right?
Yeah.
So I can suggest them. I can tell them, I want to do this, I want to do this, we can do this, we can add yahan pe, ye ho sakta hai, wo ho sakta hai. But
in their word is the final
thing. So they can say no to a brilliant design that I feel it's a brilliant design. And they can say yes to it also. But eventually you realize, if you know everything, you know the details, you know how to do this, why not do it yourself? It doesn't really require anything. You just need to have the confidence that if this is the thing that I'm making, if this is the design that I'm making, I know where the beam is going to come, where the column is going to come, where the waterproofing is, and how the waterproofing is going to be done. Right? If you can tackle that, you can do anything. It's like one of those things. So after Harsh's office, I was like, no, I need to leave it now and I need to do my own thing.
Achha.
So yeah.
So who did you tell first? Who did you go to first?
I went to my my bosses, my parents. So I was like, so I need to open my own firm now. So they were like, what kind of investment does it require? So everything comes down to that. So it all comes down to that. So they asked me that, do you have a project? So I was like, no. So they're like, what are you going to do? So I told them, I'll figure it out. So they're like, you can't just figure it out. You have to tell me what exactly will you do and this and that. So then I was sitting with them and I told them, I'll make furniture pieces. So they're like, why? So I told them that this is a small investment that you can make in the field. And that can eventually become something more. And through those exhibitions and everything, you can make contacts and everything and do architecture. So they're like, how much investment do you need? So I told them, it depends on what I design. And what they're like, we don't understand this language, Kshitij. We are service people. We are bankers, both of us. You are an architect. We understand. We allowed you to do that. But now you need to realize that you need to up your game. You need to tell us ki how are you approaching this and that. So I was like, I'll leave my office. I'll jump in the this thing. And then I'll see how far can I swim or something like that. So they're like, okay, fine. You want to do that, do it. But so my parents have been really supportive of things. They're like, we'll provide you whatever financial aid you need. But you will have to figure all this out yourself. Because we don't know anything about it. They don't know anything about CA stuff. They don't know much about GST. How is it done? How is it not done? So all that, I have to go to banks, ask CAs how to do this and that. So
did you do all of that running around that groundwork? Or did someone help you out?
No, I was the only one who was doing it. I'm still the only one who's doing it. Right now, I don't have employees exactly. I have some people who are working under me, like on project basis. But I don't have like full-time employees in my office. I still have to figure that bit out. Because I've started making my infrastructure for the office. But in some more time, I think I will have permanent employees. This is how a startup is, right? In the sense, in the end, you have to start alone because you're a one-man army, right? You can devote 24 hours to a project and no other employee is going to devote 24 hours. So you have to keep working alone. Then you have to hire people on the basis of projects. I'll give you 10% of the project. I'll give you 20% of the project. Just be there. So there are people who are working like that also. So yeah. I have those kind of employees, but I don't have like full-time employees who are working for me.
At this point, didn't you think that, you know, partner chahiye? You know, I need someone who is equally passionate about this. And, you know, the profits are later in life maybe divided, but, you know, the initial struggle becomes easier.
Yeah, but I have thought about it. I've thought about collaborating with people. I've thought about being partners. with my really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it really works out, in the sense there's just too much compromise. And
on what?
On the design ideology. I would want to make something, but the other one is going to tell me that just tone it down a little. Now you can do this, you can do that. But then again, you're just thinking, if I have the details and if I have an idea, which is a complex idea, and I want to build this, why should I listen to somebody else and compromise and mute my design out? Even if I don't mind spending double the amount what I'm spending in establishing my firm, I think I can live with that rather than being or compromising on design.
So, I mean, the whole idea of a partner for now is out. Maybe later.
No, I don't think ever.
You just think ever.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure about it, in the sense that it's not something that, it's not even under this thing.
You want to go ahead with just
you.
So when it comes to, I mean, sure, like it's a one man army thing happening, but where does your team come from? I mean, you need MEP consultants, you need a structural person, you need your contractors with their team.
Yeah, depends. If you're talking about contractors and structural people and this and that, you can talk to people who are working in my former offices, and I asked them to help me with the vendors and everything. But when it comes to people like your stone cutter or your carpenter, those I like to fish myself. Like the first carpenter I was working with, that I got through my friend, but then that carpenter left Delhi and he went someplace else, and he suggested me some other carpenter. From the carpenter, I got the stone guy. So I like asking the vendors themselves if they know a stone person or this and that. Because if the carpenter is good and his work is good, the stone guy is also going to be good.
Achha.
Right? Because their work needs to interlock, right?
Into
one another.
Yeah.
And I like to fish them personally because I feel they are my hands and my legs.
Right.
In the end, if I'm making a furniture piece, what I'm thinking, they need to be in this thing with that, right? So those kind of vendors, like the smaller ones, who are like almost full-time in my office, are fished by me. But the rest of MEP and contractors and these people, you can get from your the offices I've worked in.
And you're comfortable with that because you worked with them before and you know the quality of
them. So those people I don't really care about. They will do a nice job. They are professionals and this and that. But the labor and these people, I want to keep them full-time in my office. Like, I don't mind hiring an intern, a stone guy, a carpenter, and a draftsman, maybe. That's all I need in an office. I don't really need an office of 10 people or 15 people. I need this because then you can do a lot of experiments.
Right.
You can carve stone, you can cut wood in a certain way and this and that. And those kind of details are something that only I can work with them and work it out.
So you want to invest time and effort into building one solid team?
Yeah.
And then maybe experimenting with them. And
I'm still experimenting with them, in the sense I'm trying to build pieces which are a little experimental, but are not really typical furniture pieces. They're like art pieces, furniture pieces, the switch between the two. So I am experimenting from the first this thing. And you fail. Right? You fail big time. In the sense, the first carpenter I went to, he made a disaster out of the thing that I suggested in the drawing. And I was like, this guy doesn't know anything. So whom do I work with? But then you eventually find people who would want to do your kind of thing and who would want to make something which is, you know, something different. So that way, I've been lucky right now. I'm getting good vendors. I'm getting good people who are working for me and who are actually interested in investing time and making this and that. So yeah, that way, I'm good.
So when you were doing your initial groundwork from the conversation with your parents that, okay, mama, baba, I'm doing this. And to finally taking some kind of concrete action, what was the first thing that you did? Did you establish your name first? Did you decide?
Everybody does that.
Yeah.
So I've seen people doing that, and even I did that. I was like, okay, now I need to make cat blocks. I'll make cat blocks for myself.
Yeah.
I'll make visiting cards.
Yeah.
I'll make letterheads.
Yeah.
You have no work.
But all right. You're absolutely
You have absolutely no work. All right. You are sitting in the office for 3 or 4 hours. Right. Because initial days when you started an office, you don't know how how much time do you need to devote? So yeah. after 4 years, you get lazy.
Yeah.
Four hours, you get lazy. Yeah. You're like, yeah. oh my God.
बहुत काम कर लिया फिर.
But then you realize it's been in just 4 hours because you don't have any work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you're like, what do I do? How do I feel that I am in an office, which yeah. is my office?
Yeah.
I'll make visiting cards. I'll
yeah.
make letterheads.
Yeah.
I'll make this. I'll
yeah.
make that. But it's all stupidity. So when the real work hits you, when it really, when you're really working in this and that, is when you don't care about visiting cards and you don't care about because letterheads and everything. Because recently I gave something for ID and I gave all the wrong things and I gave all the wrong email IDs and this stuff just because you're just stuck in so many things
yeah.
that you're like, okay, the visiting card, this can go right now. I'll figure something else out
yeah.
and this and that.
Yeah.
So those things don't matter then
yeah.
because there's just so much on the plate that you don't know
what to do.
Yeah.
So how was your first day at office at Kshitij Dogra Architects? Where was it?
Very bad. It sucked. It was like I was there for 2 hours. I was sitting in the office. I'm tired.
Was it in a room in your house?
My parents stay on the ground floor. I stay on the first floor. So my office is on the second floor.
Acha.
So I was like, what should I do? Should I renovate my office and make it habitable? So yeah, I made some doors. I was like, let's just sketch some doors
yeah.
for the new office. Let's just start with the paint and everything.
Huh.
So my parents are like, you don't have a project. You're sitting at home, not earning. Then you're asking us to invest in your office.
Worst possible situation.
So they're like, what do you want to do? Are you sure? So yeah, I held it to my this thing. I was like, okay, fine, I'll start sketching my furniture pieces. I'll start making these doors. This is my assignment for the next 1 month.
Achha, you put a timeline to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, now in 1 month, I need to design a complete furniture piece. And then I need to start with the doors.
Achha.
So I called a carpenter.
Why doors?
Because my doors were ugly.
Okay.
Like my office doors were like
really ugly.
Yeah. So I was like, I have to do something about them because I need a space to work in. Right? You need a space where you're sitting and you feel that, okay, now this is my space. Now I can work in this space. But if the space is shit and you're sitting and all the pigeons are coming inside and leaving and you're like, is this even my office?
So, what am I doing?
I'm still not there yet. I still haven't completely renovated my office. I still haven't completely, made it into something amazing.
Great. Yeah.
But I think I'm getting there. I think it'll take some more time. Some more income needs to come in. And then I think it'll be there.
So when did you get your first project? Also, how did you get it?
Oh, this is a very funny story.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
So I was I was actually designing some furniture pieces again. I was supposed to do 15 furniture pieces.
That was your self-made deadline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Achha.
Okay, now I'll do furniture. Kshitij, you need to do this because you need to earn and this and that. Okay, if it requires a certain investment, it's okay, but you need to do this. Like, okay, fine. Every day you get up, you sketch some furniture pieces. So initial days you work for three, four hours. Then it becomes six. Then it becomes 8. And when there is pressure, it becomes 14. So when it's when you hit 14, you're like, yes, I'm there.
Yeah.
So so I was making my furniture pieces. So I went to this place, a marble market. It's near Gurgaon, Chhatarpur Gurgaon Road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was there. I was buying this stone kadappa. So I was putting it in my car. I was like, okay, I'll design some new shit from that. So there is this uncle who's standing there, old guy. So he's like, beta, what are you doing? Uncle, I'm putting it in my car. So he's like, beta, do you know this is your own car? Yeah, uncle, I was driving it. So he's like, I understand passion, but this is stupidity. You are ruining your seats and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay, uncle. In the beginning, you have to do all this.
And
this and that. So he said, what do you do? So I told him, I'm an architect.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice stone. I know that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm planning to put it for, I was planning to put it for the furniture and everything, but I told him I'm going to put a flooring in my office and everything of this. So he's like, you have a good taste. Like, thank you so much. Kehte, do me a favor, come to Nainital next week. I have a project that I'm doing. It's a house that I made. I need someone to do the interiors of it because I don't understand the interiors much.
Just like that.
You get projects on road.
My God.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how to put it. It's so, it's very...
it's beautiful coincidence.
Yeah. You're going to buy marble and you're like, stone. And
job bhi mil jata hai saath mein.
So, you're like... So these things work in mysterious ways. I mean, you don't, you can't really
predict any of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or foresee that, oh, you know what, I'm going to go marble shopping and then
yeah,
I'm just going to come back with a project. So cool.
Yeah, it's so
very chill.
And even then I was like, okay, I'll go home, but I won't pay heed to this because these things, they don't really work.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he must have been like, okay, come, but he will never call. So next day he called. He's like, okay, you need to come. I have to go to Japan. So just come day after and we'll see what we can do. And I was like, is he going to kidnap me or something?
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same thing. So, did you have this weird thought?
Yeah, like this uncle also looks like he's old and everything here. But is he like... a person to be...
Is he going to murder me and throw my body in the
I was very scared, but I went to Nainital and it's a beautiful house that he's made. And it's all made out of brick. So now he's like, do the interiors of it. So yeah, that was my first project.
That's how you got your first project.
Yeah, so weird.
Very crazy. I mean, I think this is common with a lot of other architects I've spoken to and they were like, you know, it's just... It's just a chance that you've just come across it and you're like, oh, project, yay.
Yeah, it's so, it's all of it is nobody knows how these things are going to come.
Yeah,
right? Nobody knows how these things will work and this and that. You can only hope. That is what I tell my friends also when we are sitting. I'm like, what are architects?
Yeah.
They think they are gods. But what are they? They don't have money. They don't have projects. The only thing they have is their ego.
Yeah.
That is what they're doing for their entire life.
Yeah.
They're running with their egos here and there and saying we are the best.
Yeah.
That is what our life is, right?
Yeah.
They are hiring people for their ego. They're firing people for their ego. And that is what they're doing. That is the best they can do.
Yeah.
So, and they think they're saving the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most of us are making houses for the rich.
Yeah, that's
we are not
true.
Doing this world a favor. We are just,
so
an appendage for the
rich. If this hadn't happened, if the old uncle hadn't called you and offered you a job, what was your alternative? What was the initial plan after making 15 or 20 pieces of furniture?
I was planning to do exhibitions. I was planning to put them out on exhibitions and I was planning to maybe make a certain kind of market for myself.
Achha.
Which is not just furniture oriented, but is an architectural oriented this thing. Because I just feel that if an architect is making a furniture piece, he'll make it very differently as compared to a furniture designer or a designer. Because if you switch between disciplines, right? If you switch between architecture, literature,
photography.
Art, photography, and if you can really break those walls and move in fluids, I think that is where real creativity or real innovation comes from. So I just feel that architecture I've done for 5 years in the sense I have designed houses and this and that. Let's just try and do something different. And maybe from that you can take in something into architecture, then from architecture into literature, literature into this, into that. So all these things need to be one whole mass in which everything is switching between.
Now that you've made a few pieces of furniture and you're presenting it, do you think that when people work across professions, like by profession, you're not a furniture designer.
Yeah.
So do you think that it gives you a fresher take on what already exists?
Yeah, I think so.
From what you see around you, other pieces of furniture that you see, do you think it's a fresh take? It's a new, you entered it with a new perspective.
Yeah. Because I never took them to be furniture pieces. I took them to be art.
Absolutely.
I took them to be pieces which were, because when you say furniture, you get a rectangular box in the head. You're like, okay, I need to make a side table which is rectangular.
Yeah.
You open a drawer and that's what furniture is.
Yeah.
But that idea of what you're calling furniture and the image that your brain projects is what I have issues with.
Okay.
Right? Because I don't want to feel furniture to be something that is very massy or very bound by, you know, form or bound by, you know, these pieces. Because everything in the house is rectangular. We are so stuck in those. So I was like, if I call it art in my head, I say I'm making furniture pieces which are art. Then my brain goes in
then the walls
fluids.
Break.
Yeah. And fluids and everything. So you try and create, okay, I'm making a lamp that is art. I'm making a chair which is an art piece. So you call them that.
Yeah.
And eventually in my head also, I stopped calling it furniture. Started calling it functional sculptures.
Okay.
Right? So if
interesting
you change
that you call it, I mean, I'm gonna interrupt you here.
Yeah.
But interesting because, I mean, furniture also comes with its utility.
Yeah.
So do you also focus on that? I mean, when you're creating this piece of art, sure, it's ambiguous and it's flowing and it's, you know, it doesn't have any container per se.
Yeah.
But do you also, maybe at a later stage, take into consideration the working, the utility aspect?
No, that is exactly what a furniture, that is where the challenge is. Because an art piece can be anything.
Yeah.
And an art art piece is a little selfish.
Yeah.
It's private.
Right.
And an art piece is for the one who's
right.
made it. Right?
Right.
A furniture piece is a little selfless. Because he's like, the person needs to come and sit on me. The guy needs to interact with me. So my idea was to make an art piece which was a little selfless. So if you make an art piece which is selfless and is more utilitarian and is more functional, that is, and you hit it right in the middle, is when you need to realize that you've made it. You just start feeling that, oh, right, now I have made it because now it's not art. Now it's not a furniture piece. It's somewhere in the middle.
So when you start creating these pieces, I mean the very beginning that when I'm going to sit down and create something, do you do the art bit first or do you decide what you're making first? Because I mean that would have a huge impact on, you know, what you're going ahead
with. I won't go in detail with my process.
I'm not trying to extract a process. Sorry. No, that's not what I meant. What I meant was that I mean, it's essentially like a chicken and egg thing, right? What comes first?
Yeah,
what
I think,
do you... Okay, let's make it a little philosophical so that it doesn't seem like I'm extracting the process out of you.
Yeah.
So what do you think should or could come first when you're making functional art?
I think nothing has to come first. It needs to keep going rounds and rounds in circle.
Achha.
And you need to stop that circle somewhere. In a sense, if I'm designing something, I'll read a lot. I sketch a lot. And then sometimes I feel that, oh no, this is too artsy. Now you need to put a bit of function into that. Now then you feel that, no, this is becoming boring and functional. So you need to put art. So it needs to keep going.
It's like a back and forth.
Yeah. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to next level. Yeah. It's almost like, I don't want to do this. I'm still stuck with this. And at times you're looking at that piece and you're like, why am I doing this shit? This looks shit. I don't want to look at its face. But then you need to take that break for 2 or 3 hours. You need to go out. You need to chill. And then you need to come back and look at it again.
Right.
And if you feel that it's the right piece and if you are emotional about it, is when you've hit the right chord. In a sense, I think as architects or as designers, we need to be emotional about what we make. In the sense that I'm understanding the entire idea of, oh no, it needs to sell. Everybody needs to sell it. We are all businessmen. But there is this inner gut that you have and you look at it and you feel, no, this is right. I have hit the right chord. And you obsess over it. Sometimes you get it in dreams also. And you get up and you're like, have I made the right thing? But you realize, oh yeah, I have made the right thing.
You need to be 100% involved.
You need to be 110% sure of what you are doing. And you need to be proud of it. The day you're proud of it, you're like, yes,
I've done something right. Like even whatever digital art that I make for myself, it's again, it's really personal, and for the longest time I thought that, you know, I don't want to put it out because I don't want any kind of criticism, because, you know, I might not like it by the end of it.
Yeah.
But that's somehow that's not true. After a point, you're like, do whatever you want to.
It should be, in the sense, see, eventually I'll come out with this with these pieces, and people might just say, Kshitij, what are you doing? This is your effort for the past 1.5 years. This is what you've put. And I've put that effort in 8 pieces.
Yeah.
Right, 1.5 years. And that's like approximately like 2 months per furniture piece. Huh. So they might just tell me that this is stupid. But that's okay with me, because I feel that I've made something. You need to feel right about your furniture or architecture or whatever you make. In this, in the end, it's all about what you feel is right. Because it needs to help you sleep at night.
Right. Aha. Basically. We have hit that.
Yeah.
So what I want to talk about is clients and failures.
Yeah, in the sense, clients are slow, clients are moody. But fortunately, till now, be it my relative or be it this uncle. So I have been fortunate with the clients right now. The clients that I talk to or interact with have been very nice to me. And they've been like, Kshitij, make whatever you want to.
You're just very lucky. Yeah,
yeah, just give us the bill. It's okay. Just make what you want to. And they've been like, just don't cross this segment. Because the projects that I'm doing, they're Airbnb projects, right? So they want to make something different. They want to sell it in a certain way and this and that. So they're like, what's your eye and everything? They've seen my furniture pieces. So they're like, there's a certain way of him designing things. So they're like, you make whatever you want to, just complete them. So I haven't faced that kind of
criticism
or that kind of shunning from them, in the sense saying that, no, Kshitij, don't do this, or no, Kshitij, don't do this, please, I'm not listening to you, and this and that. They have agreed to whatever I have asked them to put.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So in any office, like when you were working, did you face any kind of criticism, or not from the boss, but from the client side?
Not really. Not till now.
Not till now.
Yeah. My only concern is when they ask me to do shit design, I'll make it. But then there is that other insecurity that I hate. What if I become an architect like that?
Yeah, that's what.
So what I do is, on the other hand, I start producing art, or I start reading, and I'm like, okay, no, I need to be away from this.
Yeah.
I need to do this. So if I'm doing this, I'm all.
Yeah.
So it's more of, you need to balance that.
Balance it out.
Yeah, the keychard and the non-keychard. So yeah.
So if you get someone approaches SDA and says that, oh, you know what, I want this, can you please make it for me,
like a Dinchak project?
Yeah,
like
very Dinchak project, like crazy.
Okay,
something all right, something that's not be very judgy, something that doesn't match your sense of aesthetic.
Okay, like politically correct. So
I've got to be, people might get offended.
yeah I know what you mean. So I will take up that project because I need to run my office. I need to pay my carpenters and everything.
So when you, I'm going to go back to your planning stage, because I feel that that's something that people don't really talk about enough. Like people who just start their own business and all of that. So when you plan that, okay, boss, I'm going to make these many pieces in this much, like, this is the time that I'm giving myself. Did you also maybe predict and project your income from it? Or did you make any permutations and combinations?
Yeah.
That sort?
I actually calculated the amount of my first furniture piece, and it blew out of proportion, because right now it costs double of what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
So that math, it actually...
Yeah.
goes for a toss. It's something that is not, you can't calculate these things. I have seen, and I have done that project also, which is an extension. I calculated a certain amount, and it's 1.5 times of what I calculate the amount as. And this has not just happened in my office. It has happened in offices I've worked with before, like really experienced people. They are also making those mistakes where the projected cost and the actual cost is very different. But that is, again, when you're designing and when you're taking out the cost and everything, a lot of things you're not considering, in the sense, if a flooring guy is going to come, there's going to be octroi, there's going to be truck trucks bill and this and that. So these are very small things that people don't really consider. But the thing is that these small things just blow up the entire...
They make all the difference in the final bill.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am compromised in front of my clients and I'm like, okay, this is my first project. Just let me be. But,
so how did you, so when that happened, how did you deal with that situation where you have to break it to the clients that, hello, bill has gone up a lot. Please give more money.
Yeah. Those were my relatives. So they didn't really say anything right now, but they're cursing me. If it goes on rent and everything, they'll be fine. But right now they are still cursing me. And they're like, how could it go so up? Because in the end, I don't mind making them spend a little more, but not compromising on the design.
On the quality. And
the quality and finishing and this and that. Because that is what people are paying for in the end. And I feel if I make something that is cheap, if I don't use wood and I use a veneer, and if I don't use wood and use a laminate, it shows. There is this very popular saying that people are saying these days, jo dikhta hai wo bikta hai. Shit like that. Nahi, that's not true. Jo nahi dikhta, that is what really sells, I feel. And that is what is really durable. And that is what is really timeless. So I think all of us as architects should aim for things that are timeless and not aim for things that are just for
a few months and then you break it and you make something new.
Yeah, but that is what the world is becoming.
Yeah,
I feel
exactly.
If
you want
living
something new, like at the drop of a hat, the minute the season or the fashion ends, you're like, change
But that is the trend, right? You see places like Instagram, you see cafes.
Yeah.
What are cafes? They are retrofitted jobs. They are like, yahan pe ye grunge wall kar do, yahan pe ye kar do, yahan pe ye kar do, and yahan pe ek chandelier tang do. Sab kuch purana lagta hai. But it's just cost cutting, right?
Right.
What is the life of a cafe? A life of a cafe is 1 or 2 years, not more than that. Right. That is the kind of architecture that I don't want to do, or that is the kind of interiors or things that I don't want to do, because firstly, I feel that it lacks soul, it lacks depth, it lacks character, and it has no history. I think
it doesn't have a story to carry.
Forward.
Or a journey to project.
Exactly. So similarly, I have those issues with materials also. The kind of materials they are using. They are using laminates. They are using MDF boards and coloring them. And
it
using
shows.
Them.
It shows.
It shows. Yeah. And this is, I feel, if you're using that, is I don't know how to. I'm trying to equate it with a person in a sense that if I'm a person and if I'm using sagwan or if I'm using teak, right? My using teak and using a natural polish on it, even if it's expensive, shows my honesty towards a material.
Yeah.
Right? It shows me being as a person who's very honest, might be rude in a sense, but is honest. If a person says that, sir, I'm doing maine MDF I'm using, right? Or if he tells the client that I'm using wood, but he's using MDF and he's putting a veneer on it and he's saying, sir, this is wood, shows the kind of character that person holds. So I feel the things that you make, the things that you build are a direct reflection of what you are as a person, and your materials are a direct reflection of what you are as a person. So that is why I feel that design, to answer your first question, is an ideology. It's a way of living, and it's not really what your hand sketches. It's how you get up, I think, how you sleep, what your life's worth is, how many people are you sleeping with, how many people are you in love with, how much arrogant you are, how much arrogant you're not, how many lies are you telling. All this is design, I feel, because that is something that gets directly reflected in the kind of work that you're doing. So I think that is why a person needs to have a certain kind of ideology to make and to translate it into design.
Right. Very deep. Very interesting also. And funnily enough, I agree with all of it.
So even the builders and everything, the materials they're using, the things they're using, just shows how much profit they're earning. I look at the house and I see how many fake materials do I see. And I'm like, this is fake, this is fake, this is fake, this is fake, this is not real. And I just realize how much billing that builder must have done to this client and made a fool out of him. And but then when I start doing materials and I start doing my projects and everything, I tell them I am an architect who might just use a little expensive materials.
You disclose it before you take on the thing.
Achha. I tell them, I'm very honest to them. I'm like, I will tell you, if you don't want to hire me, don't hire me. It's okay. But my parents are like, Kshitij, you're fucked up. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to get clients. You're supposed to hit the right people. What are you doing? Yeah. That's bad marketing. But I tell them, and I like telling them that, see, I will use expensive materials, but I'll give you something that is long lasting and is not going to just go off in 5 years. That is what I had an argument with my earlier client also, my relative. So he told me, Shita, I just need this for 5 years. Manika, I'm not making it for 5 years. So he told me that, no, Shita, you are supposed to make it for 5 years. Manika, wait for it. Let it get done. You won't dismantle it for the next 20 years because the kind of materials that I'm using. So he's like, Shita, but I don't need it for that, that much time. So I was like, you will eventually know.
Right.
That if I'm putting in a certain material and if I'm putting in Sagwan and if I'm putting in CPT and if I'm putting in steel and granite and this and that, the rent that you're expecting out of an MDF job and the rent that you're expecting out of Sagwan is going to be very different. In the sense, it's going to be twofolds with wood and the kind of materials that you're doing. So he's like, nobody sees it. So I told him, no, everybody sees it. Everybody gets a hunch when they enter a space if the space is real or if the space is made up.
Do you also feel that way when you go to spaces? Yeah. I mean, because you're so aware of what the material is and you can easily tell between what is fake and what is real. But do you, before you became this aware of materials and this and that, when you had just started
architecture, I had a hunch whenever I used to enter a space, it used to be itchy. In a sense, I was like, okay, nice place, but something's wrong. Something's not right. Something's not true.
Working.
Something's off. And it's not just me. It's not me who's an architect who's seeing this.
Yeah.
But it's a layman also. He's going to enter a space. He's going to be like, okay, the space is nice, but something's off. I don't know exactly what. And I'll tell you what. Wohi jo nahi dikh raha na is what will sell.
Have you experienced this firsthand with somebody who's maybe not an architect? Has someone identified that from you?
Not really.
No, not really. So how do you know that, you know, people feel that way?
Nay, I'm not saying that people should feel it or not feel it. I'm saying I feel it that way. In the sense that I feel that if I use that material, I won't stay true to architecture, or I won't stay true to, because I feel I'm very honest about things, and
so that you can sleep at night at peace.
Exactly. So it's an ideology again. That is what I told you, that it's very personal. It's not something that I expect every architect to do. If every architect is doing that, then what am I charging for? Right. So and I don't do a lot of colors and everything. I'm very muted when it comes to colors.
That's very personal. I mean, that's a personal choice.
Exactly. Like the idea of using the materials and what materials you're using is very personal. Like, I won't do a travertino or these kind of stones because I feel they are too
flashy.
Yeah. It's not for me. Glossy things are not for me. I'm not that architect.
So, do you think this kind of ideology will affect the kind of clientele you get? Or how? What if I frame it this way? Initially, a few of them work on a volume-based business plan. That, okay, fine, you know what? For the initial few years, we're going to just, you know, take whatever comes in. Do lots of projects, not necessarily large projects, but lots of them, so that our name is out there, we have some cash, and then we're gonna start, you know, doing what we
so really you become rich and then you become a philosopher.
Yeah. Do you think that works? Or did you try to explore that?
No, I didn't, because I can't live like that. In the sense, I can't, because that is what I told you, right? A lot of people are ready to compromise on these things just for maybe fame, maybe showing on an Instagram post that, okay, I'm doing such great work and this and that. I'm okay with doing less projects, but brilliant ones. I'm not okay with doing projects which are compromised and which are
substandard
and are a marketing tactic rather than a project in itself, which I think it's a huge problem with Instagram coming in as a image projector.
I think people come and show you images. मुझे ये चाहिए, मुझे वो चाहिए, मुझे ऐसा चाहिए.
Yeah, that and also most of the projects that I see around are they are being done in a certain way and they are being sold in a certain way. And on Instagram, it's like everybody is like projecting. I'm doing this. That doesn't necessarily mean that your project is nice, right? You're just doing. Which is understandable, everybody is doing. But eventually, when you're on your deathbed, you need to see the portfolio that you've made over your entire span of 40, 50 years
as an architect.
And shouldn't have any of them. I feel the day I compromise is the day, I don't think.
Is the day you fail.
Yeah. I feel I am okay with struggling. I'm okay with doing less projects. I'm okay with feeling insecure about people doing a lot of projects, which I'm human, right? So I will be insecure about it. I will be insecure about the fact that ye kar raha hai ya wo kar raha hai ya wo kar rahi hai. So but I'm okay with that. But less and quality.
Less is more.
Yeah.
So let's now, I mean, you mentioned failure. Let's talk about the last topic, which is failure. So have you faced or dealt with failure firsthand with anything? I mean, your own company or generally with...
Failure in terms of?
In terms of work. I mean, something went terribly wrong or...
Well, I made blunders. Yeah.
Do you want to maybe share one story?
I made this...
Again, without taking names, please. No names.
I made this project and it was a 70-meter wall. Long, 70-meter long wall and it was 11 meters. And I didn't read the drawing correctly. And the entire wall was supposed to go from 0 meters to like 6 or 7 meters.
Yeah.
Right? It went till 4. And it was a prefabricated thing. And I really realized, what the? What exactly did I do? And I realized, I'm going to get fucked big time. But it didn't really happen. So you make, all of us make blunders. And actually the blunders make you realize that this is not the end of life. In the sense, nobody can kill you. They can just shout. They can just throw things at you. Your bosses. But... they can't really, you know, kill you. So you just have to realize that you will just go home.
Yeah.
You will just shout.
Yeah.
Put your face in the pillow. Shout. And then you have the next day.
It's a fresh start.
It's a fresh start. Like a cheesy, good quote kind of thing.
So this
tomorrow is a new day. Like that. So, yeah.
So this is, again... the last question is that I feel that when you decide to start your own work, there's a certain sense of vulnerability also. You know, you're like, okay, fine, I'm going to start my own work. Sure, you have all the confidence. You know what you're doing. Sometimes you don't know what you're doing. Most of the times you don't know what you're doing. But I mean, there's a confidence level over your skill, which I assume that you achieved by working for 5 years in the field.
Yeah.
But did you feel vulnerable when you started your own work and you said that, okay, now this is going to be me? Because when you're working in a job, it's not really a projection of your abilities and your thought process so much as compared to when you do your own work.
I feel a vulnerability in itself and fear are really, really brilliant motivators in a sense. They're one of the best ones, I feel. When you're vulnerable, you just look for a shore. You just look for a safety point and you're only going to find it through hard work and through spending 6, 8 hours on just one detail that you can't figure out. So I feel these kind of, this entire notion of fear being something that is not is a negative thing. I feel fear and vulnerability are one of the most brilliant things that can drive you to work towards certain thing. It's like they say, you need to climb without the rope. Fear will find you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you need to realize that once you're anxious and once you're in that state where you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what will I do with this detail and this and that, is when you work the hardest to get it right. You work for, again, 8-10 hours. No, I have to crack it. No, I have to crack it. No, I have to crack it. And you become obsessive about it. So obsessive that you're dreaming also about that detail. And you're still not resolving. So I think that is that point in life is where you're truly cracking something innovative. Or truly cracking something interesting.
Great. This is a lot of like... a lot of very nice gyan sessions. More of that.
Yeah, this is just...
All right, guys, now we're going to wrap this up and please tune in to hear our next episode next week. Bye-bye.